We're going to be joined now by Michael Weiner. Michael Weiner is with Swiss America. This will be Mike's first time to ever be with us on Lindell TV. I called him tonight because he has been around. Look, I'm 53. Michael Weiner, maybe he wants to tell you his age, maybe he doesn't. But let me just say, Michael Weiner has been doing what he's doing a long time. And he has seen a lot of things happen. And I thought maybe he could give us some perspective of what has happened in the past in America and what is happening now. So joining me from Phoenix, Arizona, with Swiss America is Michael Weiner. Michael, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Brandon. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us, Mike. Mike, tell our audience your background a little bit, what you've been doing for how many years?
Well, I literally started as a stockbroker back in 75. Worked for a firm called Hornblower & Weeks. Then I in Michigan, and then went into the gold part of the company back when gold was first released at that time. It was illegal, you know, for 40 years, and people weren't knocking down the doors to buy it, even though it first became available again after 40 years of not being available.
Well, let's stop you right there. Why was it not available to be bought for 40 years, and what year did it become legal to buy it again?
1973 actually became available officially in 74. Roosevelt made it illegal to own gold. There's a big fallacy, Brandon, about understanding what happened with gold in 1933, because it's something that leads up to what's going on right now in our future. And that's what you brought up last week when you talked about the digital currency. In 1933, when Roosevelt made gold illegal, it was not about gold. It was about currency. He changed the money from gold certificates to silver certificates without Congress. And then he made gold illegal because when he devalued the dollar, gold doubled in value, and he didn't want Americans to have the right of offset. He didn't want them to be able to offset losses that they had on their paper currencies with their gold. So he made it illegal, and not only illegal in the fact of a misdemeanor or a slap on the wrist, it was a 10-year prison sentence and $10,000 fine per count, and people went to prison. Sort of like the vaccines, isn't it?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that stayed online all the way till we went off the gold standard in 71. And then in 73, Nixon was campaigned upon to release the gold market again. And he did that under executive order. So there's no controls that a president can't stop here. And the only thing that's good news is the Roosevelt Law, who we both know, Franklin Roosevelt is a demigod of the Democratic Party and a king of the progressive movement, much more than Woodrow Wilson ever was. And at the end of the day, their ultimate goal was to put us in a bad position, which after he made the currencies illegal, made the gold illegal and currency change, the worst year of the Depression was 6 years later. In 1939, the worst year industrially was 1938. And we were so weak as a nation that Japan attacked us in Pearl Harbor. And then 7 days later, the Germans declared war on us. We didn't declare war on Germany. They declared war on us. Sort of makes you think of Russia and China. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a serious situation that this whole thing linked back to currency. And here we go again, just like you brought up. It's exactly as you brought up. That's why currencies right now, and what Biden just came up with by saying that cryptocurrency is an existential threat to the financial system, is because of one simple factor. They don't control it.
What do you mean by that, Mike?
Well, the cryptocurrencies is now regulated. And because they don't control it, they don't like it. They only want to deal with things that they can put their thumb on.
So the bottom line is the government doesn't want competition.
You're darn right they don't.
And they don't want privacy, and they don't want people to not be able to be under their thumb. They want to be able to destroy you and enslave you or make you prosperous, whichever they want. It's like Andrew Jackson said in his farewell address when he did away with a central bank, and he was censured from it, from my great state of Tennessee. And in his farewell address, he said that we no longer have to fear from those abroad. The bravery of our gallant sons is known worldwide. That our great threat is from within. And he started talking about the dangers of a central bank, one he'd done away with, and said, don't ever do this again, because these men will get control of our currency and our monetary policy outside of the Constitution, and they will expand the credit or contract the credit based on what enriches them and makes them the most affluent. And he said, and this will have a ruinous effect upon the American people. And these children will wake up in a nation founded by their fathers and find themselves homeless due to this extreme in contraction and expansion, contracting the money supply, expanding the money supply. And he says it will be have a ruinous effect upon our nation, that our great threat is from within. That's almost directly verbatim from memory, because I'm a big fan of Andrew Jackson and his speech. But that's why they don't want cryptocurrencies. They want to be able to control us and enslave us, true or false.
Absolutely, and that's why if you look at the three factors that they've got going on, right now they want to sit back and force digital currency, because you won't be carrying a wallet anymore. You'll just have a card in your pocket or whatever they might issue you. And if you go buy a pack of bubble gum, they're going to know about it. Then they sit back and turn around and tell us that they want to sit back and put up 80 or 83,000, 82,000 IRS agents to investigate us. Strangely enough, financial crimes are mostly done by politicians, not by us. They want to investigate us to make sure that our bank accounts aren't hiding money. Well, we're not the ones illegally trading stocks right now, and we're not the ones that are finding backdoor money solutions all the time. Yeah, we're getting all the blame. And then they're turning around and telling us also that they want to sit back and compete with the AIIB, which is something you might have left out in conversations. The AIIB, which is the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, which was formed by the Chinese to countermand the World Bank. They figured they can't get to be the world reserve currency, so they'll create their own IMF, which is the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. And the next thing you know, well, they'll make themselves the king of it. And guess what? Not only did they do that years ago under Barack Obama, but they also turned around after that and have created a SWIFT system that Russia, when Biden woke up and turned around and decided he was going to bring them out of the SWIFT system, that it doesn't even affect Russia, because Russia's working through the AIIB and the Chinese SWIFT bank system.
Look at this headline. This is at Wall Street Journal. This is today, March 15th, Wall Street Journal. Saudi Arabia considers accepting yuan, that'd be the Chinese yuan, instead of dollars for Chinese oil sales. And of course, again, since at least 2016, we've been warning that Russia and China were working to destabilize our currency. We know that Russia dumped a bunch of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and helped to create the 2008 banking crisis. Kevin Freeman reports that Russia asked China to join in on that. China didn't want to do that at the time. But now these guys are working closely. But there is a concerted effort. We've had the BRICS banking system, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, working to get rid of the dollar as the world reserve currency and the petrodollar, which, of course, as you mentioned, Nixon closed the gold window in 71, and we had to back the dollar by something if it wasn't backed by gold. So he cut a deal with Saudi Arabia that we would protect them, and they would trade oil in the world market with the dollar, making it the world reserve currency and the petrodollar. I've shown this audience, and I'll try to find it real quickly tonight and show them, the satellite footage of us where we used to have Patriot missiles in Saudi Arabia, and I've shown the Patriot missiles by a satellite and then them removed. The Biden regime has, according to numerous reports, remove these Patriot missiles from Saudi Arabia. Russia rushes in there to offer some security to them, because, of course, they're scared of nations like Saudi Arabia, scared of Iran now, and talks with them are breaking down as well this week, we're hearing. The point is this, now that apparently the Biden regime is going to not take care of protecting Saudi Arabia, Russia rushes in, Russia and China are an alliance, and now we find Saudi Arabia is considering accepting the yuan instead of dollars for Chinese oil. Can you imagine the catastrophic inflation? Not if, but when. When the U.S. dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, what will that mean for the average person watching tonight, Mike Weiner?
That'll mean not only higher prices, that means the financial strength of America globally will be dismantled. And all of the pluses that they had with not only within their 401ks, within their own bank accounts, within their own ability to spend their money will be minimized and overwhelmed with the Chinese dictating what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad. And it's going to get extremely tight. And right now, when you look at the situation, as we did back under the Obama years, they did not pay attention to the amassing of gold that China did all those years. And they didn't pay attention to the currency war that China put up against the United States with Russia. Just terror, literally financial terrorism. And then at the end of the day, the only guy who tuned in on it and who caught it was Donald Trump. And he literally was shutting that door on them, and it was killing them. That's one of the reasons why China was literally brought to its knees in some respect with Trump, because he stopped their ability to play their currency games. And with this currency situation and what you're talking about right now, you know, the reality is very simple. It's what my grandfather used to say, when you want to protect yourself, when you don't trust who's cooking dinner, don't eat. I don't trust Joe Biden and his people, not only because of their beliefs, which I believe are socialist Marxists, but I also believe that they also are not for the good of the nation. And the people who are working for him are one step below a C grade in college. So take it from there. With this type of team right now, we've got 3 more years of this. I don't know, if you don't properly protect yourself, if you'll be able to withstand the blows that will eventually hit. You know, we're being lulled to sleep by a stock market that's globally connected. So at the end of the day, they are feeling not threatened because they know they have a backstop. We don't.
And of course, we know many of these people in his regime are bought and paid for by China. And Peter Schweitzer's book, among others, has proven this. In our final minutes together, all those dollars rushing back to the U.S., if they're no longer needed as the petrodollar, that is going to create more inflation than we could even imagine, added to what we already have, correct?
Absolutely. It's going to be not the Weimar Republic, but it's going to definitely be a little grandchild of it, that's for sure. And, you know, if somebody would have told you, literally 5 years ago, that we'd be sitting in a country where people that had socialist views would be talking about it, that we would see companies favoring China over their own country, that we would see educational systems that would teach America was a bad place to live. Go find something better. That's my solution. But at the end of the day, if somebody would have told you all that, you would have told them they were crazy. And here we are right now, and we're in the first year of insanity. It feels like 10 years. And the next 3 years in front of us, if you think it's going to get better, God bless you. If you don't, the only thing you could do is properly shore up your own. You've got to be one-dimensional, Brandon. You can't go talk to somebody who's a genius and sit back and say, figure out exactly how you keep me safe. You've got to be one-dimensional, look at things yourself, and look to items that you can control, be it land or be it gold, because of the fact that the founders put us under the gold standard because it empowered the people. Because the people running this country could not spend more money than they had gold available to do so. We went off the gold standard in 71, and what are we, $36 trillion in debt with a T? I mean, that's insanity.
Not counting the off-record debt, which puts us well over 100, closer to $200 trillion with off-record and on-record debt. And, of course, what people have to understand, and most Americans, if you were to ask them about gold and silver, they don't commodities, they don't understand hard assets. But the numismatic, you know, 1933 and older. The reason I bring that up with my audience so often is because right now the law is that that's private. So if the executive order by Biden were to come to withdraw, to have everybody hand in their gold, they're going to have a hard time knowing who's got it because by law it's private, correct?
Correct. And it's, you know, what I get a kick out of was people say, well, you know, what is the difference? Well, when you go to sell something that is not private, ultimately you're going to have to disclose it. And if you want to think you can sell it to a guy named Vito in a closet somewhere and get away with it, it's not going to work. You know, the reality is that you're going to have to sit back and look at why even people like Hunter Biden went into collectible art. Because of the fact that government, probably the biggest black market in the world, is collectibles. Nobody knows what happens when you hear of a famous painting sold for $200 million. It goes to an unbeknownst buyer by an unbeknownst seller. Nobody knows anything. But the numismatic market is proper and held aside from the reporting responsibility we have on various other types of gold, including bullion.
Have to report bullion purchases, but you don't have to report numismatic 1933 and older. And we're not saying that so that people acquire it and then sell it and don't pay tax. People should pay their taxes and obey the law. But what we're saying is if people are looking for privacy, this gives it to them, which, again, that's one reason why people went to cryptocurrency. The numismatic gives them not only the hard asset, but it gives them the privacy.
Exactly, but it's not when you buy gold that you get hit. It's actually when you sell it.
Right.
So selling it is when they hit you with it, and it depends on what when you sell it and the amounts that you sell. But at the end of the day, when they start putting restrictions on, you're going to be looking at two things. You could be looking at the restrictions on even owning it. And you can look at the restrictions on what happens when you sell it. But when you can own something that you don't have to sleep with one eye open, it's a good thing. And in today's world, privacy, Brandon, if you think about it, what do you own right now that you have it as an investment that you can legitimately say is private? Other than you can't say your land, you can't say your car, you can't even say your wife's jewelry because you get it insured and the insurance company has records of it. So what is there? I mean, right now, with or without, looking at all the pervasive things that are out there right now, the best thing you can do individually is try to maintain some financial independence. And how do you obtain that? With privacy.
And let me ask you, in closing, people can also talk to you guys about moving their IRA into gold, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ronald Reagan was the one who cradled the whole IRA program in gold. He cradled it with gold eagles when he first came out with it. And his whole premise was, he was the same guy when he was asked about Russia, when we got a guy in there now who's afraid to say a word. He said one of his first press conferences are an evil empire. When he was asked what would happen if we went to war with them, he said, "We win, they lose." I mean, everybody's eyes stood up because we always wanted to hear a leader say that, and we had a benign group of guys after Nixon who didn't. And at the end of the day here right now, the idea of an IRA in gold is protection.
Yeah, let me ask you this, also quick questions, quick answer. Are we going to see the end of the American dollar as a world reserve currency, yes or no?
I think it's in the next 3 years that I think it's no longer going to be a possibility. I think it's going to be a reality because nobody is doing anything to stop it.
Are we going to see massive bank failures in the United States of America?
I think you'll see bail-in in the United States of America, which is worse.
So
I think the banks
bail-ins, not bailouts, bail-ins next time, which means they'll take a percentage of everybody's deposits.
We'll become a creditor and not a depositor. And at the end of the day, they'll own us that way. That's why the banks are so cavalier right now, because they know they have that back door. The FDIC means absolutely nothing. Bail-in, and it's absolutely something that exists. It's something that's part of our financial systems right now, and it's already in place. So, thank you, Barack Obama, and your merry men and women, because they gave that to us. And it slipped right by us right now.
And many
now.
Of the banks, if they were to put their derivatives, their junk derivatives, their junk investments derivatives on their books with traditional accounting, would most of our big banks in America today be insolvent?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's no doubt about it. But they, right now, years ago, Brandon, and I'm older than you, they used to advertise for banks right now. You used to go into banks and you used to be really impressed how badly they wanted your business. And during the last inflationary period in the 1979, you were getting paid 15% on your money to leave your money in the bank. For 90 days, you could literally write your own ticket. Now, what do you get? You're lucky if you get 1 to 2%. And they're very cavalier about it.
How about getting your money? Is it getting harder for your clients to get their money, even get their money out of their investments? I'm hearing stories that people are having to wait days and days and hours to get their financial people on the phone to get their own money moved.
Absolutely. And, I had one of your own viewers who I talked to the other day was telling me something about a friend of theirs that donated money to the Canadian truckers, and Chase Bank literally shut down their bank account, shut down their credit cards, and it took them 3 or 4 days just to have them to release it so they could go find somewhere else to go. That's how absolutely cavalier these banks are. They think they're above it all. And when anybody's out there and looking what happens in Canada, understand the fact they can do that with a snap of their finger here too. And if you have an IRA, guess what? They have a direct roadmap to exactly what you have. If you own paper assets in your IRA, I don't care if it's annuities, I don't care if it's stocks, I don't care if it's bonds. If you have paper assets at this point of time in your account, they can lock you up in a heartbeat. If you have physical gold IRA, they can't do that. They literally have to go after you and do a similar thing when the IRS emancipates property. It's 90 days. You have a window to cure. And if you don't take advantage of paying attention to this while you can, then you'll be one of the people that's too little too late.
Are we going to go to capital controls where they're going to limit how much you can take out of the bank at any given time and move around? Are we going to capital controls, yes or no?
Absolutely. And right now it's almost a whisper in the background. You go into Wells Fargo right now and you want to put $50 in your granddaughter's bank account. The next thing you know, they want your driver's license. When you take money out, you get questioned of why you need the money. My answer is always, are we related? I mean, these people are literally a paramilitary group indirectly right now for the federal government.
Are we seeing banks change the small print and send out notices to their banks, to their depositors, that they're changing? I'm seeing reports, and even my own bank sent me something. I saw the Daily Caller reporting something that these banks are changing the small print, which makes me think they know something's coming, and I don't like the way they're changing the small print. Have you heard about this?
Yep, and certainly. But they don't. You are absolutely unimportant to them. You're just a tool. And when you look at the whole picture of how they do things, they don't discuss it. They don't really even look for comment. They just do it. And you walk into the bank, and the next thing you know, you are sitting there in front of a guy or a gal. And when I used to go to the banks, and again, I'm older than you, people that work there look like professional. Now they look like Walmart greeters. And you walk in there, and they absolutely have no desire to do it. Any service you, they have only a desire to get you in and get you out. That's why banking in the future is going to be by ATMs. You're going to walk into the bank and they're going to have a bunch of kiosks. That's exactly what you're going to do. There's going to be no people there. That's the future of banking in this country. They don't need to.
Michael Weiner has been our guest. We've never brought him on Lindell TV before, but he has a long history in this. You've been doing this since
1975.
Wow. Okay, if you want the free packet, you work with Wes Peters, who I mention all the time, if you guys want the free packet.
Wes and I were lucky enough to work together for almost 14 years, and Wes will be the one to sit back and introduce us, and I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody individually, and if we can help, it would be our pleasure.
All right, excellent. The number to call or text Wes for the free packet we always tell you about is 602-558-8585. Logan, you can put that up there if you want, 602-558-8585. But I wanted to bring Michael on because of his years of experience to explain what's coming. We're going to get into this more in just a few minutes with Leo Holman and Patrick Wood. But I'm trying to get you guys to understand the history of where we've been and where we're going. And Michael Weiner is with Swiss America, a company I've worked with for 15 years as a sponsor, and I do business with them. And a lot of my listeners have for years, 15 years. I've been working with them, and you can get that free packet of information, no obligation, by simply texting Wes on his cell phone. You can call Wes on his cell if you want, but you don't have to. You just text him your name and your address and say, I want that free packet of information, and you can start doing your own homework and then get back a hold of them after you've gotten all your questions written down. 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. Thanks for being with us tonight, Michael.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for all you're doing, Brandon.
Thank you. Michael Weiner checking in.